Good morning. Thank you very much for coming. And we thank the official family for sponsoring the daf this morning. May it be a merit, Lili Nishmas, Meira Chaya, Nechama Bracha Shalom, Bas David Mordechai. And we were on Nun Amud Beis. Last we saw yesterday was the lesson of Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav Asi. Now, whenever the Torah uses the term kesef, it means kesef tzuri. Wherever the sages use the word kesef, it means kesef medina. So whatever the Torah refers to, it's very big Tyrian silver. When the sages talk of kesef, it's 1/8 of those sized coins. It's the kesef medina. The Gemara asks a whole bunch of questions. Finally, the Gemara says, "Ela yitmar, ach yitmar." If something was said by Rav Asi, was the following: "That I'm Rav Yudim Rav Asi, kol kesef katzavar b'Torah." If the Torah has a certain set amount of money, you know, like the 30 shekel that have to be paid if a person's animal, if his ox kills a slave, or the fine of 100 shekel for a motzi shemra, or 50 shekel for ones or mafata. So wherever the Torah gives a set amount, it's kesef tzuri. That amount, when it was set and specified, is big coins, the Tyrian silver. Shelder Rim, when the number is rabbinic and it's kesef medina, then it is a coin that is 1/8 of the size of the kesef tzuri. My kamash malan, when asked, what's the chiddush? Tanina, that's our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, chamish leim shel ben, the 5 shekel to redeem the bechor have to be kesef tzuri. And so the Gemara, you're right. That when the Torah gives a certain number, let's say where it says 5 shekel or 30 shekel or 100 shekel, that is kesef tzuri, that's simple. Shaldirayim kesef medina tzrichalei. What I needed Rav Asi was to teach me that when the rabbis have a concept of a certain amount of silver, it's only rabbinic, then it is kesef medina. So what's the example of that? It's not related to Mishnah. Somebody who damages his friend's ear. He goes, he takes a shofar, he blows it at his friend's ear, embarrasses his friend. So no sin lo sela, he has to pay him a shekel. That's the Mishnah. The lo tema, don't say that that sela is a sela of arba zuzi. That's a sela of 4 zuzim, namely of 4 dinars. That are tsuri. Ella powder the zuzi, but rather it's a sell of 1/2 a zuz of silver.
What is it? If you embarrass your friend, you have to give him a coin? Is that what
yeah, that's what the embarrassment is worth.
That's
and this is the amount. The amount is 1/2 a shekel. 1/2 a zuz. And it's powder the zuzi, the curry, and she sell a powder the zuzi. Because people, in terms of a rabbinic concept of sela, can even refer to kesef medina, which is only 1/2 a zuz. It's only 1/8 of kesef Tyrian silver.
Have any of these coins in existence today in Israel?
Yeah, they found them. Exactly, they found them.
Yeah. They found them? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So now a story. This we had back in the Sechet Bava Kama. Hanan Bisha. Hanan, the guy who should be embarrassed of himself. He's the one of the rascals in Shas, Hanan Bisha. What did he do? Tukle lahu gavra. He took a shofar, he blew it in somebody's ear. He embarrassed the guy. So also l'kamad Rav Huna, he came before Rav Huna. Amar leis, he said to him, havli paga de zuza. Give him 1/2 a zuz. In other words, give him a sela of kesef medina, which is only 1/2 a zuz of kesef tzuri. So you say, wait a second, 1/2 a zuz? I only have a zuz. So what did he, what was the story there? Havale zuza macha bade. He had a zuz that was already worn out. People didn't like accepting it because no one wanted to accept it. It didn't have any, it wasn't, the shape was no longer, you know, in sharp relief. So lo nothing. It wasn't something that he could use. So he said, well, listen, this is worth a full zuz. I have to pay a half zuz. So Takale Achrina, so then he did it another time. He blew shofar to the other ear. He said, okay, now I owe you another half. V'yavei nielei, then he gave him the full zuz. All right, that was the story in Masechet Bava Kamma as well. All right, Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. We're at the two dots. The Mishnah says, talking about the different shekels. Kesef Tzuri, the Tyrian silver, versus Kesef Medina, the shekels that are widespread. The Mishnah said, Shaloshim Shaleved, the 30 shekel that the Torah says you have to pay if your animal gores to death a Jewish, a slave that's a non-Jewish slave that belongs to a Jew in Eved Kanani. Or Chamishim Shalones, the 50 that has to be paid in the case of Ones, of a man forcing himself on a woman, or Vishal Mefata, or the 50 shekel that he pays in a case of a Mefata. The Mishnah said these shekels are Kesef, Tzuri, Tyrian, silver. So the Gemara asks, let's listen to the language of the Mishnah. Shloshim Shaleved, Chamishim Shalones, Vishal Mefata. All of them have to be using what the Torah calls Shekel HaKodesh, which is Tyrian silver. So why do I have to, once I say Shloshim Shalev, Chabishim Shalonis, V'shal Mefatzeh, why do I have to then repeat Kulam? Hasu Lamali. Why do I need anything more? Hatanalei Reisha. Once I said in the beginning, Ones and Motzi Shemra. So what do I need further? To say these things again, to say again the sentence, Kulam v'shekel HaKodesh, and therefore it is Mane Tzuri. My answers, I have to explain that it's Shekel HaKodesh and Mane Tzuri. Because Ones and Motzi Shem writes, Trichale, I need it for the law that a man who forces himself on a woman and a man who falsely accuses his wife of being disloyal is paying the 100 and the 50 respectively of shekels. The Torah doesn't say shkalim in regards to these payments, it just says 100. Maybe he doesn't pay with shekels. Maybe he pays with zuzim, not with slime. Zuzim are the small coins that the cell is made up of. So that's what the Mishnah is needed for, to teach me the male of Kalyal from Adadi, we derive one from the other. Since the Torah says explicitly shekel in regards to pidyon haben, it says explicitly shekel in regards to shloshim shaleved, to derive the others from there, and there also when it said 50 or it said 100, it meant shekel, and it has to be manet tsuri coins. The Mishnah says all over it means manet tsuri. So the Mishnah finally ended by saying that when it comes to pidyon haben, you don't have to give coins, you could give what's worth coins. In regards to all areas of halacha, you could give sheva kesef, what's worth money. You don't have to give money itself. Chutz min hashkalim, except for the mitzvah of half shekel, that has to be actual shkalim.
It has to be movable, right?
Yeah.
How many?
No, anything that's worth money, presumably. We're going to see in a second land. That'll be the next mission.
If we give them grain.
For pidyon haben, you can't use land, but we'll see. Baruch atah Adonai Melech haolam
shehakol
midvaro.
If the guy's a farmer, he could give him grain instead of money?
Yeah. Except for, in all areas you can give what's worth money, except for half shekels. Tana, we were taught in a brisa, chutz min hashkalim, except for half shekels. Another thing where you can't use shava kesef is maser. When you want to redeem maser sheni, you have to use, as we've learned many times, kesef sheyesh bo tzura, money that has a form on it. Namely, it has, you know, the shape of Brutus or Caesar, somebody's shape on it. And Ra'ayon, in regards to, you know, very coming up to tomorrow, I mean, we have the mitzvah of Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah to bring an Olas Re'iyah. So the Mishnah says in Chagiga, the Olas Re'iyah should be brought with Shtei Kesef, two Kesef. Those Kesef, you have to bring actual coins. You can't just bring something worth coins. Shkalim, how do we know Shkalim has to be real coins? The Tanka's not going to Mishnah. Mitzarf and Shkalim Lidarvonos. If you have too many shekels of Maaser Sheni, which is silver, you can turn them into darvonos, big gold coins, to make it easier to transport it up to Yerushalayim. But you see, you can, that's all you can do, but you can't use regular shava kesef. Maaser dechsev v'tzarta kesef yadecha. Maaser sheni, it says explicitly, you'll bundle the silver in your hand. And we learn a lesson. Tzarta kesef means kesef sheyesh bo tzur. It has to be money that has a shape. And rayon tani rav Yosef, this is a dinder abanan. Shelo yavi sigal azar. If a person would be able to bring things that aren't exactly money but are worth money, so then maybe one day a guy's going to walk into the azar without money but with just a clod of metal, just like this metal lump. And he'll go and say, okay, with this metal lump, I want to buy an animal because I want to bring my olas ri'iyah with this animal. So that will already be disrespectful that an animal be sold for a metal lump. And therefore, Midr Rabbanan, they said, you have to come up with two shekel mamish.
So, Rabbi, any capital punishment, they just exchange it with money, with coins?
No, we didn't say that.
Those days?
We didn't say that.
No, I know, but I'm just curious.
No.
Was no jail involved those days?
No, when a person has to pay something, he doesn't have to use shekels. He can use anything that's worth shekels. So let's say here, Pidgin Ben. You can use something which is worth 5 shekels. You can, I don't know, give him a shas, give him a bunch of books.
If he forces himself on a woman, or right. He beats his friends, or
yeah, the Torah
or
says
he has
shekels.
Capital punishment, all he has to do is just pay coin and walk
out
of there.
No, but those are not capital punishments. Embarrassing a friend is not a capital punishment.
But forcing on a woman, wasn't that
No, she's an unmarried woman. No, it wasn't a capital crime.
So she's married, it's like a skinhead.
Married is different, but that's not the case here. Says now the Mishnah of the limitation that Roger just mentioned. It's true that we just said that in regards to Pidyon HaBen, you could use what's worth money, but ain't potin, lo ba'avadim, lo b'shtars, lo b'karkos. You can't redeem a son with slaves or with IOUs or with land, with property. Lo be'ekdeshos. We'll see what that means. Neither is the case with hektish. Now, talking about IOUs. Kasav l'kohen shu'chayev. Chayiv lo chamesh slaim. Let's say a man writes a document to the Kohen, says to the Kohen, I owe you the Kohen 5 shekel for Pidyon HaBen. Chayiv litzein lo, so he has to give him the 5 shekel because that's already a gift. Ubno eino padu, but the son is not redeemed because he hasn't paid literally shekels. You have to pay shekels to redeem the son. Lefikach, and therefore in such a case, let's say a man gave a Kohen a document saying, I owe you 5 shekel for my son's Pidyon HaBen. And he hands that document to this Kohen. And then he gives the Kohen the 5 shekel. If the Kohen wants to give him back the 5 shekel, in Matana as a gift, Rasha is allowed to do so. Because what he did not fulfill the mitzvah. Okay. Hamafrish pidyon beno. Let's say a person puts aside 5 shekel. He says, I'm going to use it to redeem my son. Then Nebuchadnezzar got lost. He never actually handed it to the Kohen. Chayev bar chuyuso. He's responsible to actually make sure it gets handed to the Kohen. As the verse says, Kol patarechem yiyalach. Right there, right next to it, it says, Pado tifteh. You shall surely redeem. Therefore, we learn from that that when you have the money actually in the hands of the Kohen, then he is redeemed. But otherwise, if it's not in the hands of the Kohen, the boy is not yet redeemed, and you still need to replace it.
But those coins must be paid right there, or it could be like, if you don't have money, say, I give you 1 coin now, 1 coin 2 weeks.
Okay, good. It seems
I'm
like
credit,
you could,
you know.
Well, that's from yesterday already. We saw that yesterday there was a story on Nun Amud Aleph. The Gemara had a story yesterday that Rav Ashi sent 17 zuz to Rav Acha, the son of Ravina, and Pidyon HaBen, And he sent him, and he sent, you know, give me back the third of the zuds, which is extra. And he said back, no, 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 it's no longer the way Rava had it. The third of the zuds is not extra. You owe me another three zuds. So apparently he sent him the extra three. So apparently you see you can give it in installments. If he gave 17, then another three. So apparently you can give through installments.
When the Cohen gets possession of the silver coins, he can, after he does the big Yom HaBen, he can give it back to them to get them.
Yeah, we're gonna see. That'll be a big discussion today's daf on Amid Beis.
So is that allowed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Installments. He's probably not redeemed until it's given, I would think, unless it's in a note.
It could be. All right. Starting with the first part of the mission. The first part of the mission says you can use Sheva Kesef except for land, slaves, and IOUs. Says the Gemara, Masnitz in our missions, look Rebbe, not like Rebbe. The Tanya, because Rebbe learned in a Brisa. Rebbe, Omer Rebbe says, Bakol Poldin Bechor Adam. You can use anything of value to redeem a firstborn boy. Chutz Min Ashtaros, except for IOUs. But you could use land and you could use slaves. My time in the Rebbe, what's the reasoning of Rebbe who does allow you to use land and slaves? So this is a general rule. Whenever we have psukim, how should we interpret them? Do we interpret them through the process called ribui mi'uti v'ribui? So ribui mi'uti v'ribui means that ultimately we include everything, we're just excluding one thing. Or do we interpret through the process called klal, prat, uklal, which then means we're only including those things that share a common denominator with the prat. It has to be similar to the detail. So what's the reasoning of Rebbe? He darshins ribui mi'uti v'ribui. And therefore he goes into the psukim like this. The verse says, "Ufduya b'ben chodesh tivdeh," and you, the redeemed ones from when he reaches a month of age, you shall redeem him. You shall redeem him. Sounds like you should redeem him with anything. Riba. Then it says, "Be'erkach kasef chamesh shkalim," in your value of silver, 5 shekel. So 5 shekel, but not anything else. Me, not things of value. It has to be 5 shekel. Then when it says again, "Tivdeh," you shall redeem riba. That's another inclusion. So it's riba, an inclusion of everything. Umiyat, it was once exclusion, chamesh shkalim, and then again riba, another inclusion. So riba kol, everything is ultimately included. My rabbi kol mili, what's included? Everything's included. My miyat, what's the one thing that's excluded? Miyat shtaros, the one thing that's excluded is the IOUs, but land and movables, slaves, they are included. And the rabbanon who excluded slaves and land because they are doresh klalu pratu klal. So the verse says, "Ufdu yavim ben chodesh," and the redeemed ones have to be a month old. So that's klal ufdu yav, the redeemed ones, implying you can use anything. But then it says, "Be'er kachak kasef," with your value silver of chamesh shkalim, of 5 shkalim, prats. That's a detail, only 5 shekel, and not everything. Then when it says, "Tifti," you shall redeem chazer v'kalal, it came back and again included. So you have klal uprat uklal. So when you have a general rule, a detail, and then another general rule, you have to done elokeina prat. So then you derive everything like the detail. My prat mafurash davar mitaltel v'gufo mamon, just like the detail is something which is carried, something movable, and it itself has intrinsic value. I've called davar mitaltel v'gufo mamon. So the things like it, like chamesh kalim, can be used, but they have to be like the shekels. In other words, they have to be something which is movable, and it has to be something with intrinsic value. Value. Yatsu karkos, that excludes land, shein metaltim, because those are not movable. Yatsu avadim, that excludes slaves, shukshul karkos, because slaves always have the same status as land. Yatsu shtaros, that excludes IOUs, shafal pishim metaltim, even though they are movable, they're pieces of paper. And gufan mamon, they themselves are not money. It's that they're saying that Zev owes money, but they themselves are not money. They don't have intrinsic value. Amalei Arvino le Mereimar, Sever Arvino, then challenge Mereimar. You're saying that our mission is against Rebbe, because Rebbe darshins ribui miyuti, and our mission is using klalu pratu klal. But is that so? For Rebbe ribui miyuti darish, is it so that Rebbe darshins ribui miyuti? For Rebbe klalu pratu darish b'martzei, our Rebbe himself, who we saw a couple weeks ago, interprets verses through the methodology of klalu pratu klal. Where did he do that? In regards to making the hole in the ear of the slave who wants to stay with his master. The verse says, you have to make a hole with a martzea. Martzea is an awl. It's a certain type of tool. In the martzea, I would think you can only make a hole with a martzea. I mean, the rabbi says, sul. How do we know that you can use a sul? Sul is a piece of wood, sira, a thorn. machat, a needle, mikadeach, a drill, machtev, a stylus. Tamlam, that's what the verse says, velakachta. Velakachta, esamarteas. The word velakachta, you shall take, is the rabbis called over shenilkach biyad, v'rebi yossi, v'rebi Yehuda. It means that really you can use anything which is taken by hand. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says it's a gzerush, it's a klal upratu klal. Marzeya is the detail. So ma marzeya miyuchad shel mateches. So just like marzeya is a tool made out of metal, of kol shel mateches, any tool made out of metal to make a hole can be used, but not a thorn or not a piece of wood. Those are not made out of metal. Rabbi, and we explained, but my kmifki, what's the argument? Rabbi darish klal uprati. Rabbi interprets psukim through klal upratu klal. And Rabbi Yosef Yehuda darshens through ribuye miyuti ribuye. So you see that Rabbi is the one who darshens klal upratu klal. So why do you say here that here Rabbi darshens ribuye miyuti ribuye? And so the truth is, ba'alman all over Rabbi klal uprati darish. Rabbi darshens through klal upratu klal. The way we saw in regards to Rabbi's interpreting what you can use to make a hole in the Eved Ivri. But hach over here, it's Rebuya Miyuti, because here the Torah spelled it out differently. It was klal, klal, and then prat. So since there's the klal, and right away the another klal, and then the prat, that he interprets is Rebuya Miyuti, Rebuya. Okay, the Tanah Deber Bishmal, as we learned in the Brisa, in the Yeshiva of Rebbe Yishmael, in regards to fish. Kosher fish. The Tanah Deber Bishmal, we learned in the Brisa, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael, the pasuk says, "Bamayim, bamayim, shteipam." It says, "Bamayim, bamayim," two times, one after the next, and then you have the prat afterwards. So then, ainza klalu prat, by putting the two klalim next to each other, it's to tell you it's not klalu prat to klal, ela ribui miuti. It's going to be ribui miuti v'ribui. That's what he holds here. Rabbanan, why didn't the Rabbanan agree? So they'll tell you no. Amri, they'll tell you, they'll tell you the same way we say in the land of Israel. If you add two klalos next to each other and then the prat, so just put the prat between them, the do name, b'chlal uprat, and you can interpret it through the methodology of klal uprat uklal. Then the Mishnah says you can use. Then the Mishnah said the same way you couldn't use, well, let's see what this line means. But the Mishnah says you can't use for Bidyan Aben a slave, land, or an IOU, the Lobek Deshos. So, and you can't use Hekdesh. That's a simple way to read it. You can't use Hekdesh. Of course you can't use Hekdesh to redeem your son. Lavdideinu, the Hekdesh is the temple property. It's not yours. You can't use somebody else's property for your obligation. Ema, so the Gemara says that's not what the meaning of the Mishnah is. Now starting Nun Aleph on Beis, what the Mishnah means to say is Velo Hekdeshos, and also when you want to redeem Hekdesh, you can't use Kol Elu, you couldn't use any of these, you couldn't use land, a slave, or an IOU to remove something which was holy with the temple sanctity. Then the Mishnah says, what's that? Mm-hmm. And the Mishnah says, Kasav Lakoein. If he writes to the Kohen, I owe you five shekel, five selas to redeem my son. So since you can't redeem him with an IOU, chayev yutin lo, you have to give him the five shekel because it's a gift and the son is not redeemed. Amar Ula Ula though says, Dvar Torah b'no padu l'kishayitin. Mida oraisa, once you gave the five shekels, then that you promised to give through the shtar, the son is redeemed. My time, I am b'no padri. Why did the Mishnah say the son is not redeemed? It's a gzera, it's a rabbinic decree. Shema yom rupo de mishtar. Because people then might think that it was the original IOU that worked. And they might think that you could redeem with an IOU. And that we know you can't do because of the klal upratu klal or because of the ribuyi miyuti viribuyi. But they might think you could. So therefore, Midrabanan, they said you have to give another five shekel. Besides the five shekel you gave, because you said you owed him five shekel, you have to add another five shekel.
Did you give the first five back or no? Yes.
Just, that's what Nisha said. The first five could be given back.
That sounds like
you. I will get to that. Tani Tana Kamedra of Nachman. There was a Tana who taught in front of Rav Nachman. A father who writes to the Kohen, I owe you 5 shekel to redeem my son. Once the father gives the 5 shekel, the son is redeemed. So this Brisa disagreed with our Mishnah. It says that there is no such din d'rabbanan. Once the 5 shekel are given, the son is redeemed. Amalei Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, Zu divrei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda stimta. That's the view of Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, who maybe is the author of many of these Mishnayos, which don't have a particular author. Amila, some say, Zudiv Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Stimta. This is the view of Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon. Aval Chachamon, but the Chacham say, like our Mishnah, Ein b'no padoy. Since we don't want people to think that they could redeem with an IOU, if somebody gave an IOU to a Kohen, even if he later gives the 5 shekel to the Kohen, the son is not redeemed. That's the halacha, like our Mishnah, Ein b'no padui. Midrabanan, the boy is not redeemed. Then the Mishnah went on to say, Lefichach, since the boy wasn't redeemed, Imratza Kohen Litin, though if the Kohen wants to give it back, Imatana Rashai, he's allowed to give it back. Says the Gemara, Tanina Lahadit Tan Rabbanan. So our Mishnah is teaching what we've learned in the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Nisano, La Sara Kohanim Bevasachas. Let's say a father, gives the 5 shekel to 10 Kohanim at once. He puts down the 5 shekel in front of 10 Kohanim and he walks off. Yatzi, he fulfills his obligation. What happens if he gives the money bezachar zeh, coin after coin, what Baruch brought up, paying in installments? Then also Yatzi fulfills his obligation. Nitalo, if the Kohen took the coins, and then Ichzirulo, then he gives it back to the father, Yatza, the father fulfilled his obligation. And this was the custom of Rabbi Tarfon, who apparently was a Kohen. So you know, tell, he used to take the 5 shekel and give it back. When the Chacham heard about what Rabbi Tarfon used to do, they used to say, he's fulfilling this halacha from this brisa. So the Gemara now asks, halacha zu vasulo? He's only fulfilling this halacha and not fulfilling other halachas. But the point is, this person is fulfilling af halacha zu, even this law. All right, so now we're going to talk about Roger's point. Can the Kohen give the money back? So he could, as we just saw, but it really depends. Was the money given to him initially wholeheartedly, or did the person who gave him the money think he's going to get it back? So Rabbi Chanina was a Kohen. Have a ragil v'shakil u'mahad. He used to take the 5 shekel and he used to give them back. One time, Chazil Ahu Gavr, Rav Chanina saw a person who had just given him the 5 shekel, who was walking out and coming back in front of him, walking out, coming back in front of him. In other words, like try to wink, give it back. So he said to him, so that means you didn't wholeheartedly give it to me. You gave it to me thinking I'm going to give it back. You did something terrible. And Hilkach ain bin chapado, your son's not redeemed because he never wholeheartedly gave me the money.
So Rabbi, money talk those days.
For sure.
Money.
The 30 days is on Shabbos. What do you do? The day before? The day after?
The day after. The day after. He said.
Like that?
Yeah, it has to be over the Shloshim v'malach, over the 30 days. Okay. The Mishnah then says, Hamafrish Pidyon Beno, person who puts aside 5 shekel for his son's redemption, Va'avad, and then he loses the money before it got to the Kohen. Chayiv Bachriyu, so he needs to replace it and actually make sure that the Kohen gets the 5 shekel. How do we know this? Amrib Shimon Lakish, it's Gzeira Shava, Asu, we derive it from Erechin. It says Erechin, it says Erech. From Erechin. So just like an Erechin has to actually come to his hand, so too, and Pidyon HaBen has to come to his hands. Rav Dimi Yama, Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Dimi said, name Rabbi Yochanan. The Torah says, Kol Bukhar Banecha Tivdeh, every firstborn of your sons you shall redeem. Velo Yerufanai Rekam. Then it links it to another idea, the law of Ola Sri'iyah, that on Yom Tov you have to bring an Ola, my face should not be seen empty handed. V'yalav, so we derive. Reikam, reikam, e Ola Sri'iyah. Ma Ola Sri'iyah, just like an Ola Sri'iyah, chayav v'achriyus. So you have to make sure the carbon is actually brought. Even if you separated it as an Ola, you didn't fulfill your obligation until the carbon is actually brought on Yom Tov, or right after Yom Tov. Af pidyon haben, so to the redemption of the child is only if it actually gets to the Kohen's hand. And you're chayiv v'achriyuso, and you're responsible to replace it. Maska for Rav Papa. So Rav Papa asked, I understand. Kra l'kra. Do I need a pasuk to support another pasuk? The pasuk said, yiyah l'cha en pato tifdeh. So why do I need to have another source? So Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, ha, this idea that a person is responsible till it gets to the hands of the Kohen, k'diktani taimas, as the Mishnah said. The verse says, yiyah l'cha. And it says, ach pado tivdeh. So in other words, it'll only be a redemption once it actually comes to the hands of the Kohen. V'chiyat med Reish Lakish, this idea of Reish Lakish, of the gzera shava, erech erech, areishit. That was at the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, in an earlier Mishnah, makes the achar shloshim yom, if the bechor dies 30 days after he was born, afal pi shelo nasan, and even though the money had not yet been given to the Kohen, Yitin, the father has to redeem the son. Minalan, how do we know that? So Rav Shimon Lakish, Rav Shimon Lakish said, Asya, that's from the Sklera Shava, Erech Erech Me Erechin. That's we derive Erech Erech from Erechin. So just like in regards to Erechin, if I say the Erech of so-and-so is an obligation incumbent on me to give, and that person dies, once I said the Erech, I have to give it, even though that person died. The same is true in regards to Pidyon HaBen. Rav Dimi Amar, in the name of Rav Yochanan, the answer to this question of if the Ben, the son, died after 30 days, how do we know we still have to give him the money? Is because of the connection to Olas Re'iyah. It says, V'chol b'chor b'necha tivdeh, every firstborn of your sons you shall redeem. V'lo yero fanai re'kam, and my face shouldn't be seen empty-handed. So Malahalan, just like over there, Yorshin Chayavim, the children of the father who dies are obligated to make sure that the animal gets brought. Afkan, so it's over here in regards to Pidyon HaBen, Yarshan Chayavim, the children are obligated to make sure that the redemption gets delivered. Okay, we'll stop here. Bezat Hashem, continue with the next Mishnah.
The double portion, the inheritance.
Yes.